Our Father in heaven, we give thanks unto you, our God, as we know that the strength that you give us is not from ourselves. Lord, as we wait upon you, our strength is renewed. And we pray this morning that in the delivery of your word, that Jesus will be exalted. Our Father, it is you that we look to this morning to teach us from your word. Your word is the bread of heaven. Your word is the bread of our lives. And we pray that as we eat of the bread of heaven this morning, that we will be strengthened in our inner man. Father, we pray that we will not be mighty on the outside and puny on the inside, but give us strength, Lord, on the inside, that our spirit man might be strengthened, might be made great before you, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us lessons of faith, for your word tells us that without faith, there is no man who can please you. And we pray, Jesus, after all is said and done, our prayer is that you will be exalted, because your word tells us that when you are exalted, you will draw all men unto yourself. My Father, I pray that in all that we do, we will reverence and honor your presence this morning. We will treat you as you deserve, because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Help us not to look at you with the eyes of man, because you are not a man. You are God. And help us to honor you in the position of being our Maker, our God, our all. So as we look to you, please feed us, O Lord. Please fill us, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. As many of you know that, you know, during our time of fasting and prayer as a church, there was some bad news that we heard from our sister who lives in Mississippi, of her son in Ohio, that we had to go for his funeral. The Word of God tells us that in all things we give thanks. Not that for all things we give thanks. We do not give thanks for death. But in all things we give thanks. That even in the midst of what is painful for us, we will still give thanks to God, because He is God. And, well, what is done, we do not understand, but we know that in that day when all things shall be made clear, we will still thank God, because He is God. We have a mission of, no matter what comes, we continue in life. We continue to glorify God. We continue to lift Him up. We move forward with this Christian walk. For the Christian, this earthly world is not all there is to it. For we know that we are spirit inhabiting a body. One day, each and every one of us will leave this earthly body to be united with our Heavenly Father. For those whose eyes have been opened to see into eternity, it's a hope and a longing that will be united with Christ. As Paul said that his longing is to be out of this body to be with Christ, but for the sake of the brethren and for the sake of the work that's still left to be done, he will still be in this body. And may that be the hope of us all. Because earth is not something we hold on to. And may God give us that eternal vision in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over the last few weeks, I have been teaching on the aspect of love. The love that God has for man, the love that man has for God, the love that men, that we all have for each other. And I'm going to pause a little bit in that teaching, because the next aspect of the teaching that I've been going through was to teach on the love that we have for God. You know, we've talked about the love that God has for man, which we could not exhaust. You know, we could only pick parts and pieces of it, because the love that God has for us individually, the love that God has for humanity is such that we cannot understand. As humans, if somebody truly does us wrong, it is hard enough for us to do the person right. Not to talk of somebody who constantly ignores, constantly abuses, constantly does not do what we like. And the Bible tells us that God allows the rain to fall upon both the sinner and the righteous. The sinners, they do eat. The sinners, they do live. Not only live, they live well. The righteous, they also live, they live well. But there's one hope for the righteous, because there is reward in being righteous. We're not only righteous for being righteous' sake, that, oh, okay, let's just be righteous and that. There's a reward for righteousness. And that is why we are in Christ. But the love that God has for humanity is such that because a sinner who rejects God, who will blaspheme the name of God, because that sinner blasphemed the name of God, God doesn't immediately eradicate that person. The person still lives. Such is the love of God. The love we have for God I don't think I have to take some time to be in that place for me to be able to also talk about it. And that's why I want to take a pause here and go into something else. Because it's from the love we have for God, for God, that God gives us the ability for us to be able to love like Him. Because that is the aspect that is most difficult for us as Christians. And that aspect is love thine what? Enemies. Love thine enemies. I thank God that I'm Sister Lande's friend, but I cannot imagine if her enemy, would she love me? Because she's a Christian, righteous woman, she would love me. But because I am still learning, if she were my enemy, it would be hard for me to love her. But there's a love that Christ puts in the heart of man that makes it able. You see, when Christ says, love your enemies, Jesus does not say, love your enemies from your own strength. Jesus does not say, love your enemies from your own strength. Please, how many of us want to love our enemies? Thank you for being honest. We know how hard it is, right? Sally, do you love your enemies?
I don't have.
You don't have any enemies? You sure? Okay.
She doesn't pay attention.
Okay. Well, do you want to be able to love your enemies? If you see one. Okay. Would you like me to pray that God will bring enemies into your life? You see, nobody wants that prayer, but how can we grow without loving our enemies? Eh? That's a hard prayer. You see, that's one of the things that God has been teaching me. No Christian has ever grown through being blessed, you know. Do you know that? No Christian has ever grown through being blessed. The only way we grow as Christians is when we go through what? Trials. The only way we grow as Christians is when we go through God's testing. Because His word makes us understand that He doesn't test us to destroy us, but He tests us that we might grow therein. No Christian. Tell me in the Bible, how many people have grown through being blessed? I have not seen one. Because what I've seen in the Bible over and over again, let's start from Abraham. Even let's start from Noah. Do you know what Noah faced? in a place where it hadn't rained for many years. Here was a man building an ark, pretty much building an ark in the desert, telling people that one day rain is going to come to flood the whole earth. Be ready, be ready. Sister Folake, how will people look at you if you walk from, if you go to work every day without shoes? Eh? They will let you enter the building. They will what? And that's the thing. They will think something is wrong. And that was what they were thinking about Noah. In a land where it had not rained, you are building an ark, telling people it's going to rain and that rain is going to flood the earth. Okay, don't bring that aspect yet. I'm talking about America for now. We'll go to Africa later. That is what it takes. This was a man following God and preaching righteousness, telling people to repent from their sins because a judgment is coming. Abraham, for 25 years, God promised him that he was going to have a son. His name before was Abram. God said, your name will be Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. And for years, they were calling him Abraham. This is a man who had no son. For years, they were calling him Abraham. Out of the flesh, as in wanting to help God to bring God's promise about, Ishmael came about. And we know the story of Ishmael till this day. Because the father of everybody that dwells in tents, the father of the Arabs, the father of Islam, was Ishmael. Eventually, God's promise came in the person of Jacob. And after that, God said, this Jacob that you love, this Jacob, the son I gave you out of promise, sorry, this Isaac, the son I gave you out of promise, go and sacrifice him. God testing him. So nobody has ever grown through being blessed. We grow through trials. We grow through testing. Brethren, if you want to grow as a Christian, it is hard to pray. If you want to grow as a Christian, ask God to show you areas of your life where you need to grow. And the hardest prayer is, God, please test me. If you are not ready, please don't pray that prayer. Okay. You know, there's a place in the Bible that the Bible says that there was a sower going, sowing seed, right? And there was a particular number of seeds that fell on good ground. And the Bible says that that seed, it grew up and it yielded fruit. It yielded some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. In every place in the church where there are Christians, to everybody has been given a measure of faith, a measure of how much you trust God, a measure of how far you want to go with God. Some people will go with God a little. In another parable, it describes this as water flowing. That water will come to your ankle. You know, when you go to, what do they call that place? Ocean City, where the Atlantic comes. You know, some of us will see the wave coming. We will just go. Once it touches our knee, our ankles, we run back. We never go beyond the ankle. Some of us who want to go further and want more, you would wade. It will get to your waist. But you will never want it to cover you. You will go back. So how far you want to go with God, you determine. Some of us, we will go into the waters until our feet are swept up and we are not the ones in control any longer. It is the waters now controlling us. It is the Spirit of God moving us as He wills. Some will yield 30-fold, some will yield 60, some will yield 100-fold. But there comes a place where you have to be tired of where you are Because if there's no hunger, there cannot be growth. If there's no hunger, there cannot be growth. And when you pray, God, help me to grow as a Christian, there's no way that you will not be tested. I remember there was a time in my life when I said, God, I am not a patient person. Teach me to be patient. And I thought that God was going to work within my heart and just change something within me to make me a more patient person. I didn't know that the way God worked was that if you're not a patient person, the way you will grow in patience is that He will bring people into your life who will test your patience. And God did bring people into my life who not only tested, they tried and provoked my patience. And it will have been easy for me to say, and I passed the test. And I can tell you many times I failed the test. Over and over again, I failed the test. Until God now began to show me, yes, this you failed. Try it again. You failed. Try it again. Until I became a more patient person. Now, has that test ended? No. From time to time, it still comes. God brings people, even in this church, who try my patience. But because I have learned, No, I won't mention any names. No, I didn't say that. But I thank God, for therein have I learned in some aspects. Brethren, in every aspect of our character, God wants us to grow. Whether it's in patience or in kindness or in love or in gentleness or in meekness, in self-control, in every aspect of our life, God wants us to grow. Because that is what it means. You see, when the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, you know there's only one fruit the Bible talks about. It's not fruits of the Spirit. If you look at Galatians, there's no S there. It is one fruit of the Spirit. But when you see the works of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh, there are many. There are many. So the fruit of the Spirit is only one, because it is what Christ is that God wants us to be. So everything that Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. When it talks about long-suffering, gentleness, patience, self-control, Christ is the embodiment of everything. So Christ is that fruit of the Spirit. So when we want to grow, it's in that fruit of the Spirit. Every seed in that fruit, God will give to us. But we do not embody Christ all at once, because we are human. But as we take on Christ, every aspect of our character will be touched by God. But I leave that for another day. What we are going to talk about today is a little bit different. And like I said, the aspect of the love that we have, or we should have, or that we ought to have for our Father, we are still going to come back to revisit it. Because we have to grow to that aspect of being able to love our enemies. The perfection of the Christian walk is in love. On Friday at our prayer meeting, you know, there are some things that the Lord had been teaching us and that we shared with one another. And I want to go a little bit further on that today. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 10. And some people will please help me to read today. Luke 10 verse 17. Luke 10, can we get another mic, please, so that those who will read can project? Can we get another mic here? Okay. Luke 10, Brother Babs, can you please read from, let me see. Yeah, from verse 17 to 20. Yes, thank you.
And the 70 returned with joy, saying.
Sorry, so that we'll know who the 70 are, can you just read verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, and then go to that 17?
After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go.
Okay, go to 17 to 20.
17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Thank you.
20.
Okay.
Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Okay. Sister Megan, would you read from Mark 9, from 14 to 29? And please just put your hand on that Luke 10 from 17, because we are going to come back there. Sister Megan, Mark 9, from 14 to 29.
Mark 9, 14 to 29. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Verse 29, Jesus replied, "This kind can only be casted out by prayer and fasting."
What was the question that Jesus Christ asked the disciples? Or what was the question that the disciples asked Jesus?
Why couldn't we cast out what?
What type of spirit?
Evil spirits.
Demonic spirits. All right. We just read two contrasting aspects. The first aspect we read in the book of Luke, chapter 10. Here were the 70 disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ sent them out two by two into the neighboring cities, giving them power to be able to cast out demons. And when these disciples, same disciples, they came back home, they came back to the Lord Jesus Christ, they came back what? Rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? Because they were able to cast out every spirit that they came across, every evil spirit. That was one aspect of power that they noticed that was in their lives. They were able to cast out demons. And there was no demon that stood in their path. Now, same situation they came across when they were with Jesus himself. There was this person who brought his son to the disciples. "Please, my son has been inhabited by an evil spirit, causing him to convulse, causing him to fall into the fire. Help me cast him out." And the disciples, they did what? They tried to cast the demon out, but the demon did what? Call their bluff. The demon would not go. What is the difference that we see? And that is what we're going to talk about today. In one aspect, they had power to cast out demons. They had power over evil spirits. In another aspect, they could not do it. As Christians, we are people of power by the virtue of the fact that Christ dwells inside us. I'll repeat that. As Christians, we are people of power by the virtue of the fact that Christ dwells within us. When I was a young Christian, I attended a Bible school in Ibadan, in Nigeria. At that time, I had just graduated and finished my National Youth Service Corps in Ibadan, Nigeria. And for 1 year, it's a 3-year Bible school now, but for at that time, I think they were going from 1 year to 2 years. They condensed a whole Bible curriculum into 1 year, and I attended the Bible school. And I remember there was a time when in the Bible school, we had these outreaches. There was a place called Abadina, where the staff quarters, where the people who served the professors and the lecturers, where they lived, the junior staff quarters, where people lived. And we had an outreach, you know, to a lot of people in these staff quarters. And at that time, the proprietress, Sister Kinta Princewill of the Bible school, he took all of us for the outreach. And something happened which I very, very much remember. You know, there's certain things that happen that are burned in your memory. You can hardly forget them, or you won't forget them for the rest of your life. We were at the outreach just praising God, just singing songs. And I saw these little children, just a few of them and some adults, they just began to roll on the floor. They just began to, you know how you spin a top? You know, do you know what a top is? You know how you, in Yoruba, they call it ikoto, how you spin it up and it just begins to roll. And, you know, you just saw these children on the floor. They'll roll to the other side, and then they'll roll back. You know when you see some things and your hair begins to stand by itself, the hair on your neck begins to stand. You know, you can't say that you're afraid, but your body is not the same inside because you see things you've never seen before. And there, I knew that, no, this is not real. This is not ordinary. There's something happening here. And Sister Kinta now told we, the students, to begin to cast out demons. Us cast out demons. What power have we got to cast out demons? But since she said it and we believed it, we began to pray. And I was on the keyboard because I was the organist, so I could not go. But I escaped, but my time came later. But some of my classmates, they began to pray, and they will speak to the demon, and those children will just be calm. That was the day I knew that as a Christian, God doesn't reveal things for us to see in the Spirit. But there are many things that we are able to conquer in the Spirit because Christ dwells within us. As my fellow students, as they spoke, praying, and begin to speak to the demons, they were able to cast out demons. So, brethren, demonic spirits are real. Evil influences, they are real. But one thing as Christians we should never do is be afraid of any demonic spirit. Now, the same thing the disciples were met with, they went about, they cast out demons, they were very happy that they were able to cast out demons, but Christ told them, no, it's not only in casting out demons that you should be happy. The more important thing that you should be happy for is that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But this time, they came across, you know, they are in the kingdom of Satan, their hierarchies. So maybe what they had been casting out before were corporal and sergeants. But this time, they now met major general. And they spoke, you know, me and my fellow students, I don't think we met major general, but they met major general. And they spoke, and nothing happened. They cast out, and nothing happened. They bound, and the child was still foaming at the mouth. Eventually, they had to come to Jesus. Lord, this one, he passed also. This one we have never seen before. Come, please help us. And Jesus was able to cast out the demon. How much gymnastics did Jesus do to cast out the demon? You know how... Jesus didn't do all that. What did Jesus do? He spoke. Simple. Spoke. Get out. And this major general that all the disciples had been battling with that they could not cast out, Jesus only spoke a word and the demon left. Now, what was the difference? The answer to what the difference was in the what Jesus Christ said at the very end, when they came to him privately to ask him, Master, look, we've been casting out demons, but this one, why were we not able to cast it out? And Jesus told them something. This one does not come out, but by what? Prayer and fasting. But by prayer and fasting. Let me ask you one question, brethren. Had the disciples of Christ been praying? Had they been praying? Probably. And we have a good clue. Because when Jesus Christ, at a point, sat down to minister to the people who came to him, some of these disciples, they actually came to him and said, Master, teach us to pray. Nobody will say, teach me something if you don't desire to be able to do it. Sister Bola will not say, Brother Bumi, please come and teach me how to ride a bike if she doesn't want to ride a bike. If you want to do something that you'll come, please teach me how to do it. And then you'll be found doing it. Now, the time you meet with a situation in life is not the time you start learning how to deal with that situation. Let us note that. The time you meet with a mountain in life is not the time you will start learning how to deal with that mountain. The time you meet with a major general demon in life is not the time you start learning how to deal with that thing. The time to learn how to deal with any situation in life precedes the time you meet that situation, so that when you come into that situation, you would have learned the lesson on how to deal with the situation. So when Jesus Christ told them, this one doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. When they meet the demon, are they going to tell demon, wait, let me spend a few days praying and fasting, then I will come back to meet you? No, that is not how it's done. But Jesus Christ then gave them the injunction. It doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting. So what was the lesson of Christ to them then? They had been praying. Probably they had been fasting. I don't know. But Jesus Christ at one point taught them, when you fast, don't fast like the Pharisees, who would not eat. They will now go to one corner. What's wrong? I'm fasting. Don't fast. When you fast, wash your body. Put oil on your body so that nobody will know that you are fasting. So that the person you are fasting to, calling upon his name, he will, when you do it in secret, he will bless you in the open. Because when you let people know, I'm fasting, the blessing you want, you've already gotten it from people. Now, the lesson that Christ is teaching them was a lesson on faith. And some of these things that I, as a pastor, which maybe I'm supposed to have known a long time ago, but I believe God is teaching me again. I used to think that when the Bible talks about faith, it's something we engender from inside us. It's something, you know, when you want to have faith in God concerning something, you just think about it and just, you know, the more you think about it, just let something in you grow to be able to say, yes, I believe it. When you believe it hard, you believe it hard enough, then what you have faith about will come to be. That is what I have believed faith to be for a very long time. Until I met with this scripture and something changed. Now, there's an aspect of believing God about something. There's an aspect of that. But there's another aspect which is more important than your believing God, but which ties also to your believing God. It's a little bit convoluted, but I will make it plain today. You cannot have a prayer life without faith. Because when you pray, you are praying to a God you do not see. Yet you believe that God exists. So it takes faith to pray to somebody who doesn't exist that you believe exists. That is where faith starts. You cannot pray. You cannot have a prayer life without having faith to start with. So the kickstarter for prayer is faith. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ taught them a lesson here. And the lesson is that without faith, certain things cannot be done. Because your faith to be able to do it is hinged not only on prayers, but with prayer and fasting. And this is one of the greater lessons that I myself am beginning to learn. That great faith is not how hard you believe in something, but how close you are to the one who makes it possible. Let me say it again. Great faith is not only about how hard you believe. You know, teachers of faith that I used to read back then, They used to have one exercise that, you know, if you want to believe it hard enough, just continue saying it. Continue saying it. You know, I will get a job. And when I say it to myself hard enough, I will believe it. And those were the practices as a young Christian that I used to do. But then God is teaching me now that, look, you see, all those things that you are repeating to yourself, you are trying to use your own energy, your own strength from within to bring it to bear. But what Christ is now teaching is that for you to have great faith, the only way your faith can grow is for you to take that extra step. You see, when you pray, you seek God, right? When you pray, you seek God. When you fast, there's something else you are doing, which is a little bit more than prayer. Now, let me dissect it a little bit more and bring it. What did the serpent test Adam and Eve with? Eve. What? Sorry? That is the knowledge of the testing. But what was the physical thing he tested them with? Who says apple? Why not mango? Is it because Oyinbo man has told us it's apple? Show me in the Bible where it says apple. Oh yeah, show me in the Bible where it says apple. You said apple. If anybody can show me apple, I'll give you $100 today. So look for it. Apple. Daddy, apple. It was fruit. It could have been mango, agbalu mo. It's not apple. Agbalu mo is sweeter than apple, so it could have been agbalu mo. You don't know agbalu mo. Okay, I'll bring you some from Nigeria. It's not easy for it. I know you will say that. Say the serpent tested them, Eve, with the fruit. The fruit we don't know, but I think it's mango. Other people think it's apple, but we can have that discussion, no problem. But it was a fruit. Okay? So that was the physical thing it tested them with, a fruit. Now, where does a fruit go into your body? Through where? Through your mouth. So where they failed in that test was in the failure of them not restricting their appetite to seeing something good and desiring it with their tongue. Satan, now, did you see apple there? Oh, I thought you wanted $100. Satan now came to Jesus after Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. So this was a genuine hunger. What physical thing of the mouth did he test Jesus with? Bread. And it has always been the same test. Bread. Eat this bread. And Jesus told him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, the greater lesson of this is not the physical object, because Satan could have tested Jesus with a fruit. Say you are hungry, have a fruit. Bread was just another thing he could have tested, the most basic of things in life, which you need for survival. He could have been Gary. Here. It's Gary and... thank you. You know the thing. But you see, the larger lesson here is the lesson of the appetite and the senses. There comes a time where in your Christian life, you have got to come to the place where genuine things in life you forgo for the sake of following Christ closer. It's genuine that we eat. It's genuine that we have in life. But when you are going to come to Christ, to walk a closer walk with Christ, for you to come to the place where major general demons are able to cast them out, what Christ said, deny yourself, carry up your cross and follow me, it comes into place. Because it is not every legitimate thing that helps your Christian growth. For some people, their walk is the sin. They're always confessing of sin. You know, that's fine. They haven't even started. For you as a Christian, you have overcome sin. Maybe it's the once in a while that you fall and you repent of your sin. Now God is taking you to another level where it is by prayer and fasting. Now that fasting is not the one you do 40 days in the beginning of the year and that is it. It is not the one you do in 7 days and that is it. It is the one that Paul talks about in fastings often. You live a fasted life. It is legitimate that you eat food every day. But there comes a time where when you want to have to walk that closer walk with Christ, you forgo food periodically so that you will take that time to be closer to Jesus. You will forgo talking so much so that you will take that time to be quiet in Christ. You forgo wanting to go out with people, wanting to go out, so that you will take that time to be consecrated to be with Christ. The place of power to go an extra level as a Christian takes some denying. It takes some you withdrawing yourself from the world. Not because you are doing anything wrong, not because you are doing anything sinful, but because you want to come to the place where you begin to live a more than ordinary Christian life. Whether it is once a week, you say, I will fast. Or twice a week, you say, I will fast to seek the face of the Lord. Now, there's a difference between I'm fasting and I'm hunger striking. Because sometimes our fasts could devolve into losing weight. So when you fast, you look, how much has my belly gone in? That's not the kind of fast I'm talking about. It's the fast where that time you will have spent eating, you decide to be in your closet to pray and seek God's face. When we say we have a quiet time, you see, it is now, for you as an ordinary Christian, for a Christian generally, a life without prayer, and God has taught me and is still teaching me, for a Christian, a life without prayer is a non-starter. You are defeated. If you are a prayerless Christian, you are a powerless Christian, period. So if you're a Christian, you don't spend time with God in prayer, you don't have any power. You know, in the book of Acts of Apostles, there was a story about these 7 children. They call them the sons of Sceva. They had been seen, the disciples of Christ, cast out demons. And I would say that in a way, maybe they had been casting out demons. Because without you doing something, you wouldn't want to try your hands on some things that pass you. And these 7 sons of Sceva, they came across this man who was mentally deranged. This man was gone because the one he had was past major general. You know, when you pass major general, you begin to enter rear admiral and general and emperor. That was the one they faced. And the demon said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. All 7, who are you? Who are you? You want to cast me out there? And what happened to them? They came in dressed. They went out in their birthday clothes. They came in whole. They went severely wounded. There are certain things that, look, if you are not a praying Christian, don't venture. Because the devil will slap you. Now, As a praying Christian, just because you are a praying Christian, there are certain demons, just talk to them. There are certain situations in life, just talk to it. You don't need to do all the gymnastics that they do. Speak to the situation, it will be resolved. But then, there are situations we will come to in life. Because you see, two things that we will meet constantly as Christians in life are one, mountains and demonic activity. Mountains of problems that will come. The attack of Satan that will come. How we deal with each one, Jesus taught us. One, he showed his disciples to that fig tree. What did he say? He spoke to it. You will not bear fruit again. To the demon, he spoke to it. And Jesus Christ is our example of how we deal with either of the situations. And in one, he gave us the secret to how we come into it. This one does not go out but by prayer and fasting. And we see the larger lesson of prayer and fasting is living a life that is very, very close to God. Because the people who not only fasting, but regularly pray and fast, regularly live a life of consecration unto God, they are close enough to God that no matter what situation, they'll be able to deal with it. Now, let me tell you something. You see, Jesus Christ was a man of faith himself because he was very close to his Father. Regularly, he went out to pray, to seek the face of God. Now, when evil spirits met with Jesus, do you know that there was a time where Jesus didn't talk to the evil spirits? It was the evil spirits who are now speaking before he came. Ah, Jesus, we know you, please. We know you are there. Don't come. Don't come and cast us out. There was a man I read of some time ago in the early 1900s. This man lived so close with God that there was, and this is my prayer that I will get there. That's why I'm telling you the story. I'm just not telling you as a story because that is where I want to be. This particular family in the area, they had a problem because one of their children had a demon. There's a difference between when demons attack you and when a demon possesses a person. And I have seen where a demon possesses a person. Because, you know, remember I told you about that Yeshua Bible School? There was a time where we were ending worship. And I'll come back. Please remind me where I left off so I don't forget when I come back there. We were ending worship in one of our Bible classes. And I think I must have told you all this story before. Two girls, one of them I know very well, who came. You know, they've been chewing gum, just doing what they want. Eventually, long story short, both of them, we just saw them on the floor, you know. As if something cleared their foot, they just went bam on the floor. And I can't describe the voice, but when somebody talks and you know it's not the person's voice, a woman talks and it's like something coming from inside, began to talk. We knew that, okay, this one's not normal. It wasn't normal. That was where I knew that a demon can inhabit a person. And the person themselves might not even know that the demon inhabits them. But eventually that night, one of the girls, you know, she would writhe like a snake, you know, were able to cast out every demon within that girl. Therein is the power of God. Now, where was I before I went there? Yes, this man, he came to the family, they had a child that was demon possessed. And they had to now, knowing that this man was a man of God, call him. And the story was that as the man stepped foot into the house, the demons, they were upstairs, the child was upstairs, the demons began to cry, call on the man that don't come, please, don't come. Of course, the man knew what was happening. As the demons were, as he was going upstairs, they were crying more, please don't come here, don't come here. Eventually, the child was delivered. for us to get to that place where we will say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it will be removed. We will say to any demonic spirits, just speak to the situation and it will be resolved. We have to come to that place where we have great faith. And great faith is developed not by repeating it to yourself and so that when you say it often enough, you will begin to believe it. No. Great faith, you can only come by God's faith. By God's own faith, the faith of God. And the way you get the faith of God himself is for you to desire a close walk with the Master himself. It's for you to walk so closely that the will and the works of the Master becomes yours. It's for you to set yourself apart to a life that is consecrated to living like Christ lived. You cannot in the multitude of words, the Bible tells us, not once in a while, sin and exaggeration will come out. You know how somebody tells you something and you want to make it sweet when you're describing that thing to somebody else. I mean, making it sweet, you know how you add you add salt and pepper, you add tomato and cook the story so that the story will be sweet. And then by one person wanted to attack me, you should have seen 20 of them. They came at night with guns. Eh? And as I just said, we embellish the story. It's a lie. You don't want to lie, but when you take the story and add to it, it becomes what? Because even we pastors, we have to be careful in preaching so that we don't lie. I'm just telling you our secrets. So, what I'm saying in essence, my brethren, Christ calls us to a closer walk with him. A closer walk which builds up our faith. That the works that Christ wants us to do in delivering people, the person who himself is shackled cannot deliver anybody who is shackled. The person who himself has a mountain where he cannot see across the mountain cannot clear the mountain of anybody else. We have to be people who are able to speak to the mountain, speak to the spirits. And when we see results, then we can be able to unshackle people who have been bound by the enemy. We're able to pray for people that their situations will be changed. But until we do that, our Christian life will just be the ordinary Christian life. We've got to come to the place where we are able to say to the demon, come out. And it has to answer because we are living a life of prayer and of fasting. A life consecrated and dedicated to seeing God glorified in us. A life of being a friend of God. A life of when the Master says that, my sheep, they hear my voice. When God speaks, do we know? When Jesus speaks, do we know? But he's speaking. Because if he's not speaking, he will not say that my sheep hear my voice. We've got to be familiar with the voice of our Master. And we can never be familiar with the voice of the Master in a crowd. We have to come apart to loving his presence more than we love any other presence. If there are friends that you have, that you still love their presence more than you love the place of your closet, there are certain things that God, you are a Christian, it's not that you're not a Christian, but there are certain things that God will not reveal to you. Because he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Brethren, there's a work yet to be done that Christ is just waiting for us. He's waiting for us. Would you take it upon yourself to set yourself apart for this work I have for you? Will you take it upon yourself to come away with me, to know me deeply, that you might be a man, a woman of great faith? Let us pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord Jesus, as we have learned this morning, we pray that you will create a new heart within us, a heart that desires to come away with you, a heart that desires to be separate. Everything in life you have given us for our own enjoyment, but there are certain things that we have to deny ourselves of. Legitimate in things, Lord, that we might walk a closer walk with you. In each individual life, you know what these things are. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring about a hunger and a thirsting for that deeper work within us as a church, within every individual in this place today, my Father, as you've said that there's many things yet still left undone. May it not be said of us, O Lord, that we lived, we went to heaven, but we did not finish our work. So I pray, you that makes all things possible, reveal into each heart what we need to deny ourselves of, to come into a closer communion with you. I pray, O Lord, even within my own heart, as one you have used to minister your word, that mine will not be to show others the way, and I will not find that way myself. So, Lord, I pray for all of us as your children, shepherd of our souls, King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Make us desire you. Amen. Give us a hunger for you as the deer pants after the water brooks. Help us to be satisfied with nothing less than to come into you and find you, and yet pursue you still. Make us men and women, Lord, who are people of prayer and fasting, who are people of denying self and consecration, that your power might rest within us, that your work, Lord, might be brought forward, because you looked for people and you found people. Find us, O Lord. Find us, O Lord. Bring us to the place where we're able to speak to the mountain and the mountain be removed, where we're able to speak to that evil spirit and truly it will go, where truly we know your voice. Lord, you said of your servant Abraham, will you do anything on earth without revealing it to your servant and to your friend Abraham? Lord, may we walk on this earth as your friends, O Lord. that we would know your voice enough that when you do things, you reveal them unto us. That when we pray, if it's not according to what we have asked, we ourselves would know that, Lord, your desire is different. We do not pray, O Lord, that we continue in prayer and not see answers to our prayer. That we continue to tarry before you, and yet it is still the same old way that we are met with. Lord, bring us to a deeper walk with you, we pray. Please bring us into a deeper walk with you, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen.